What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, Cybersecurity Solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
As we draw closer to Juneteenth on June 19th, the anniversary of the day when enslaved people in Texas were emancipated, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, we offer a remarkable story of the black residents of a small town in Florida who fought for their right to vote a century ago. This 3-part limited series is brought to you by Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble believes that words alone won't create change, but stories do. Seek, share, and expect the whole truth of black life. Widen the screen to widen our view.
Our grandmother was one of the most bravest females. Mm-hmm. And the word brave is probably not strong enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was not afraid of anything nor anybody.
Nobody.
That's Janice Nelson and her brother, Pastor Stephen Nunn. Their grandmother was Caretha Perry Caldwell. She was a constant presence in their lives growing up in Tampa, Florida.
She just decided, for whatever reason, to talk to Steve and I when we were kids, to just, you know, tell us this story, really.
The story of what happened in Caretha's hometown of Cowie, Florida, on Election Day, 1920.
I remember driving over to her home that particular morning because I wanted her to make me breakfast. She had the old iron skillet pan, and she would fry up some rib bacon and grits and eggs.
Here's what Caretha Perry wanted her grandchildren to know. When she was a teenager, her father, Julius July Perry, and his good friend Mose Norman were prosperous landowners. They were leaders of the sizable black community in a central Florida town called Ocoee. On Election Day 1920, Mose Norman tried to vote. A few hours later, an armed white mob surrounded the Perry's family farmhouse. Caretha Perry told her grandchildren that before long, the white men were shooting into the house.
It was surreal. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't wrap my head around it. And yet I knew it was real.
It makes sense to me now. Then it didn't really make sense. You know, I knew this. I knew it happened, but I just didn't take that in at that time as a child. I couldn't fathom all of that.
Caretha told them she was shot in the arm.
She wanted me to know about the bullet wound. So she would always show me and point to it. And then, of course, after she did that, she would tell me, about what took place.
I saw her pain, but I also knew she wanted me to know how courageous she was. And she was willing to stay there next to her dad to the death if it was going to take that. She had every intent to do that. It hurt her, and yet it drove her also to be very angry, and she did not really want to mention the name of Ocoee or ever return to Ocoee again.
On I'm Eugene S. Robinson. You're listening to the Election Day Massacre from Aussie Media. A warning, this episode contains graphic descriptions of racial violence.
There was some sort of a confrontation, and they knew that July Perry and Moses Norman were among the activists involved in voting, so the attention of the white people sort of focused on them.
Marvin Dunn is the author of A History of Florida Through Black Eyes.
The initial group that went out was led by a man named Sam Salisbury, who was a well-known white man, very popular man, not a law enforcement officer, but was deputized to go out and find out what happened at the polls.
Sam Salisbury was a veteran, a former Army colonel. Marvin Dunn says the heavily armed white men he led to July Perry's farmhouse called themselves a posse. Paul Ortiz, a historian at the University of Florida, did seminal research on the incident.
In a sense, what they're trying to do is pacify him, to kind of take him out of the equation. They feel if they can silence him, then they can stop all this voting nonsense and save white supremacy.
What happened at July Perry's house? Why did it get so violent so quickly?
Pamela Schwartz, chief curator of the Orange County Regional History Center, put together a major exhibition of the Ocoee massacre.
Who actually shot who? Who actually said what? There's so many different versions.
July Perry's daughter, Caritha, Janice Nelson and Stephen Nunn's grandmother, was inside the house when the mob showed up.
She told me that at a certain point in time, some of the white residents, men, of the city of Ocoee came to their home and basically made a demand for her father to come outside and they wanted to talk.
I've always owned a gun and, you know, I grew up in a gun culture. And, you know, if someone comes up to my doorstep and tells me that I need to come out of my house unarmed and they want to talk with me, that's a threat.
And when Sam Salisbury demanded July Perry to come out of his house, Perry came out of his house and asked to go back inside to get his coat. And that's when this struggle ensued.
Someone attempted to force their way in, and there was some gunfire, both from those outside of the house firing in and from her and her father inside of the house firing out. She said that the gunfire was so great that you could see the bullet tracers coming through all angles in the house, just flying all over the place.
Caritha was not the only person shot that night. Her father was shot multiple times.
He told her that he wanted her to get her mother and the children out of the house.
Caritha's mother, Estelle, was not in good health. Caritha's brothers and sister were young children.
I felt like he was saying, you know what? I'm the captain of the ship here. And so guess what? You guys go get out if you can. But I've got to stay. I think even if he hadn't been wounded, he was going to stay and fight to the bitter end no matter what. She recalls asking herself and him, you know, how we're going to get out because they were surrounded. And he said, pray and the Lord will show you a way. And she said she started praying and said, Lord, help us to get out of here. Help me to get my mom and my brothers and sister out of here. And she said there was a cat hole or some type of an open in the bottom of the door. She lifted the little hatch and she said that there was a beam of light, like from the moon, but it was just this beam of light that shined a path through this particular high growth or cornfield. And she said they proceeded on their stomachs to crawl through that path that had been illuminated. And she said, while they were crawling, she said, we could see the feet of the men who were surrounding the home. Some of them, we could literally see their feet and we could hear them talking and still firing. And yet they never saw us.
Caritha, Estelle, and the children escaped through the field. Members of the white mob would later claim that, quote, 37 armed Negroes, end quote, participated in the shootout. But it's more likely that it was just the Perry family and a couple of hired hands who held off the assailants. At least 6 members of the white mob were wounded in the gun battle. 2 others died.
They were killed by friendly fire. Other white men shot through the house and killed their comrades. And I found this out by examining the funeral home records of the men who were buried, which included a note from the sheriff documenting that the men had been killed by friendly fire.
It's one of the few records of what happened that night.
You know, there's all of these details that we'll never factually know. There's just no way, because no records and accounts were kept. No full investigation was done.
Perry's family made it to safety, but not for long.
July Perry's wife and daughter, Estelle and Caritha, respectively, are captured. They're taken to the jail in Tampa.
Caritha and Estelle were charged with murdering the 2 members of the white mob who were killed. The charges were eventually dropped, but not before Caritha and her mother had spent a month in jail.
She said they came in and told them that they were free to go, but to never, ever return to Ocoee again.
Years later, Caritha Perry was asked by an Orlando newspaper if she had ever gone back to Ocoee. She replied, "No, God, I don't ever want to see it, not even on a map."
This 3-part limited series is brought to you by Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble believes that words alone won't create change, but stories do. Seek, share, and expect the whole truth of Black life. Widen the screen to widen our view.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, Cybersecurity Solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
In 1920, Mildred Board was a little girl in the next town over, Apopka, Florida. Ms. Board has since passed away, but she recorded an oral history a few years ago. We're playing excerpts of it, courtesy of the Orange County Regional History Center. It's one of just a few firsthand accounts of the events of that election day.
The night of the riot, Mose Nauman came to this house. And I remember that he had on a night shirt. And I don't know whether my dad came with him or he got that far and they brought him on here. And my dad said to him, "Well, Mose, how did you get out of Ocoee? He said, just like a rabbit in the wind. I shall never forget it.
Mose Norman escaped from Ocoee in his car. There were reports that he eventually settled up north in New York City. July Perry did not escape. He made it out of the farmhouse into a nearby sugarcane field, but he was soon discovered.
His little dog betrayed him. When July Perry was shot, he went down in the cane patch, and Jip was the little dog's name. He went down and barked, and that's when the mob found him in the cane patch.
The deputized mob arrested Perry.
There are so many different stories. They shot him there, but they supposed to have carried him, I thought, to the police station in Ocoee. But you know, as I can remember, there wasn't a police station in Ocoee.
More likely, July Perry was taken to the police station in Orlando, a much bigger town.
Word gets to Orlando, as far away as Orlando, that there's a Negro uprising, but that's a code for Negroes are trying to vote. And so carloads of white people begin mobilizing from as far away as Orlando, drive to Ocoee. There's an electronic signboard in Orlando, and it's used on election day.
But not only to tally votes. But
then someone changes that signboard to direct people to Ocoee.
50 carloads of white men from Orlando descended on the black neighborhoods in Ocoee.
I'm a third generation military veteran. And so when I look at places like Ocoee, I see intelligence, I see supply, I see planning. And what I mean by this is that carloads of white individuals, many of them start from Orlando, and they drive all the way into Ocoee, and they knew who to target. They knew who the leadership was. And they drive to Ocoee, and they begin to torch and burn and loot and pillage this entire community.
That evening, and into the night, white vigilantes set fire to black people's homes, businesses, and churches in Ocoee. They shot at people trying to escape the flames.
I mean, basically, people are defending their homes as this white, paramilitary operation is tearing through their neighborhoods. People put up a defense in Ocoee. They don't just lay down and offer themselves up to the firing squad, if you will.
But we could smell. Somebody said, well, how could you smell the smoke? I said, I can smell the smoke coming from Africa. So it was something that you could smell the smoke. You knew something was going on.
It's one of the most dramatic days in American history, all across the state. You know, what happens in Florida is really an example. It's kind of a metaphor for American history in 1920. A systematic purging, ethnic cleansing of black people, that's really the outcome. We don't like to use the term ethnic cleansing unless we can use it in Eastern Europe, right? We don't like to use the word pogrom unless we can use it in Africa or someplace else, but it happens here.
There is no way we will ever factually probably know how many black people were killed that night. Records were intentionally not kept. Given the current research, we as historians will say that at least 4 black people were murdered.
But many accounts put the death toll much higher. Between 30 and 60 black residents were killed. Historian Marvin Dunn.
They burned a whole section of the black community. We don't know if there were folks burned up in those houses or not. Probably there were.
Basically, you had a choice. You can leave and get shot, or you can stay and burn. And they burned to death, and they were put in pauper's caskets and buried in a mass grave.
Once the white mob started burning people's homes and churches, people left.
Every single Black person in Ocoee that night, living or visiting, lost something. Their sense of safety, their home, their property, whether they were a renter or a landowner, sometimes their life.
Those who survived the flames and gunfire escaped into the surrounding swamps. The Florida Times Union reported the next day that Black survivors were seen walking along highways many miles from Ocoee. In the weeks and months that followed, virtually every single Black person fled the town.
And they looked like refugees from a war zone. Those are the descriptions we have of people leaving in wagons with all of their possessions, white people lining the roads, cheering, jeering. You lost, we won.
A day that had begun with hopes of a better life and a stronger democracy in Florida came to an almost unthinkable end as Ocoee burned into the night. Back in Orlando, another violent crowd had gathered. July Perry is in mortal danger.
In the jail in Orlando, he is taken by a lynch mob.
Pamela Schwartz.
He is brutalized. There are many versions of what happened to him, some very, very descriptive and graphic. But he is taken, he is lynched, he's hanged.
If you leave Apopka and go to the Country Club Road a block from Colonial, there was an oak tree. I don't know if it's the same oak tree, but there is a big oak tree right now. They tied him up and let him hang from that tree for a while.
The tree was near the entrance to the Orlando Country Club, by some accounts, in view of the house of John Chaney, a white judge who tried to help Black citizens of Ocoee vote.
The story went that July was intentionally hanged in view of Chaney's house, but that it was across this lake and it was up by Country Club. At the time, the way the trees and everything were, like when we look back at historic photos of that lake and different things, like I don't think anybody could have seen anything from the judge's house. So I think that that is a thing that became part of the lore.
But there was an unmistakable message.
That's what lynching was about.
Historian Paul Ortiz.
It was really about sending a lesson to the entire Black and white and Hispanic communities, you know, whether it was in the Southwest or in Florida, wherever. We're in charge here and we don't follow the law. We are the law.
A local Black undertaker took down Perry's corpse from the tree the next day.
Oh, had done so many things to his body. There wasn't too much left hanging because they had just cut his body up in pieces. But they took whatever they could, and I'm sure they embalmed him and they buried him.
The terror inflicted on the Black citizens of Ocoee didn't end with Election Day.
The story has always gone that everybody left immediately. The Black community left, they never came back. The story after is far more nuanced and horrific, I think personally, than that.
There's an official cover-up that goes on for decades after the event.
There's just so much to the story. I think the most horrific thing is that we don't know, and we don't know by design. By design, we don't have records. We don't have names for the people who were killed. We don't know what homes burned and which ones don't. We don't know what happened to people and where they went.
What we do know is that the terror in Ocoee was not carried out only by people in masks and robes. Much of it was committed openly. And the campaign to keep Black people from voting in Florida was not limited to anonymous letters from the Ku Klux Klan. Editorials were printed in the most prominent newspapers in the state.
When the Orlando Sentinel, the Miami Herald say that white supremacy, that our foundation, the foundation of our civilization, white supremacy is in danger, we have to take them seriously. And when we take them seriously, we realize that they're going to do anything they can to break up any challenge to their power system. And this is why so many white people descend upon Ocoee, because they're trying to send a lesson to that not only are you not going to vote today, you're never going to vote.
What happened in Ocoee was not just about one election. What happened next would take years to orchestrate and execute. In part three of the Election Day Massacre.
Where did everybody go? And then you look for the families and the histories and you try to find where they are today, and you can't find people. You can't find them. They just lost and gone.
Nobody's ever held responsible in any way, shape, or form for what happens at Ocoee.
It was government-supported land up.
The scripture says, thou shall not steal. They stole it and they need to give it back.
This episode of Flashback, the Election Day Massacre, was written by Sean Braswell and voiced by me, Eugene S. Robinson. It was produced by Maeve McGoran and Iore Odigizua. Chris Hoff engineered our show.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.